one stakes winner last Saturday when Ronaldo the Great won the Group 1 Dubai Golden Shaheen Stakes. Among those preceding him was Hainsfield, winner of the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Hainsfield was one of the most versatile and consistent runners of his day. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and again at 5. He won at distances from 6.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. He won 10 of his 19 career starts, 8 stakes, and he retired as his sire's leading money winner with earnings in excess of $1,319,000. Spicetown is siring a remarkable 15% black type horses from foals. Now that's 15% from foals, not starters. And he currently ranks 4th on the North American sire list after concluding 2012, ranked 2nd among sires that stood in the USA. Out of a stakes winner, Hainsfield's family has given us dozens of high-class stakes winners. His first foals are arriving this year, and he stands for $10,000 live foal in Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profits.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. It's a glorious morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. Well, all over Central Kentucky, I assume. It was pretty in Bourbon County when we left this morning.
It's gorgeous. It's spring is finally here.
It's a chilly spring, but it's here.
Well, it's supposed to warm up this week in the 70s.
It's dried up enough. Got a little chain hair. And done. Back
I uncovered my soggy strawberries. They're taking over.
The strawberries?
Yeah, they're moving on over into the vegetable places. You know how pushy fruits
stomp
are.
Them out. I want veggies. All right.
Okay.
Well, what are we going to do today? Well, like I say, we're here at the Clocker Stand, as usual, at the Thoroughbred Center. And had a pretty good month last month. We had 44 winners we ended up with. I've got it written down here somewhere. Yeah, 44 winners last month since last week's show. Bobby Sturgeon won one. Tim Wilson won one. I understand that Tim won one up at Beulah Park, and I understand that Michael Blowen rode up there with him.
Ah!
Yeah, I hope he made him hot walk.
There you go.
Yeah, I know Michael, though. Tim did the hot walking.
There you go.
Tim's a good guy. He helps out at the old friends over there all the time. He's a photographer. He also now is doing the tours here at the Thoroughbred Center.
Oh, good. So, I didn't realize that was the Tim you were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And, you know, he'll do a good job because he knows what he's talking about and everything. And, you know, it always helps. In the tours. Let's see, who else has won one since last week? Tanya Bomitas, Akiko Gothard, and Magdalena Nolazzo. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing her name, but Maggie, if I am, I'm sorry.
Well,
and that was Susie's dog barking over there. So that's who has won since last week's show. And let's see, what else have I got to tell you about? Let me tuck this away here, and what we're going to do with this week's show, if I can find it anywhere. Here it is. I got a list over here. I want to welcome a new sponsor, Hill and Reagan Parker. Hill is and Reagan are partners in the real estate business, and I've known Hill for quite a while. He is hands-on horseman. I tell you, a good one, too. former A-level pony clubber, and in case that doesn't mean anything to you, most of our Olympic riders, or many of them at least, came up through the pony club ranks. When you hit A, you know what the hell you're doing. He's got the best behaved horses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes, brings them out here and unloads them in a trailer. They stand there, you know.
Yeah. He just ties them to the side of the trailer. They stand there, no big deal. He walks them around, you know, I mean, with... Yeah.
I remember when he was training out here pretty regular, and he had a paddock leased over there at the turnout. They have paddocks to lease here at the Thoroughbred Center also. And he'd lead them in two at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we'd tried that with some of ours, well, you know, we'd have been split.
Exactly.
Or one of them would have been loose at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Hill and Reagan are going to come in at the top of the hour. And anyway, it's a welcome aboard. Dr. Doug Byers is going to come in with Michael Blowen, and I'm going to get Michael to tell me about his trip to Beulah Park. Steve Moody is, of course, doing the Kentucky Handicapper Shoot now for Bloodstock Research, and going to take a look at the Ashland Stakes. Going to do a little history. Of course, we've got Jackie's announcements, and we'll see what's going on. And don't forget now that tomorrow is your Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition. Comes out with a Sunday form. And there's some really nice articles in there this week. Glennie Kane Oakford is writing about the Keeneland preview, say April 2-year-old in training seal. She's going to write about that. Mary Simon, who's quite a historian, incidentally, is writing about horses which returned to stud after, excuse me, returned to race after they'd been at stud. And what brought this up was a horse out in California who had won five or six grade one stakes and almost $2 million named Acclamation, who was going to come back to race. And she goes all the way back. I told you she's a historian. She was talking about $20,000 going back to stud. Well, he went back to stud for a reason. He was sterile. And but
he went back to the races.
I mean, yeah. Well, he was sterile at stud, and then he went back to the races. And I think his first start back was in, I believe, maybe the second. But anyway, he ran in the first Santa Anita Handicap, and of course, he was the 1931 Kentucky Derby winner. He beat Sweep All and Mate, and set a new track record that day. And he raced a couple of times in Europe, too, and it just didn't work out. And they brought him back, and they turned him out, and he lived his life out over at Greentree.
Was he one of the...
Run of the original Gas House
Gang. The Gas House Gang.
Yeah. So, anyway, Mary's writing about that. There's an article in there about hot sires, and Patrick Reed is writing about them. I'll let you buy an edition to tell you which one he's writing about. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not going to tell you. Oh, that's... always up-to-the-minute breeding news in it, and expanded sales and auction coverage, and pedigree handicapping, which is usually leads me astray.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and, you know, they've up-to-date sire lists and so forth, the breeder owner spotlights, and of course, it comes out every Sunday, the Sunday edition. It's a Daily Racing Form breeding edition. Mark Simon's heading that up, and Mark's a good friend of mine, and hope that flies pretty good. Jackie, want to start doing some announcement or two? And
I'd be thrilled.
Kill some time. Well, here, let me take a commercial break here, and then we'll get back to you, and you can start in. And by that time, maybe Doc will have got to put the spurs to Michael, and they'll be here.
Good luck.
At least gone to the whip. Well, let's see. Yesterday at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Transylvania Stakes was won by Jack Milton, a three-year-old colt by Warfront, bred by Cherry Valley Farm. This follows the win by Lions of Battle, another three-year-old colt by Warfront, in the Group 2 $2 million UAE Derby last Saturday in his three-year-old debut. Bred by Joseph Allen and trained by Aiden O'Brien, Lions of Battle won stakes and placed in group stakes at two. In fact, he was one of 11 2012 stakes winners by his sire. Nationally ranked again this year, Warfront is the greatest stakes winner by the great sire, Danzig. Last year, his sales yearlings averaged over $231,000, and he stands for $80,000, doing the foal stands and nurses, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. A young Claiborne sire to watch now is Horace Greeley, the son of the internationally popular Mr. Greeley. The first foals by Horse Greeley are three-year-olds, and he is the sire of two graded stakes winners in his first crop. Clearly now, has won the Grade 3 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream. He goes in stakes today. And really, Mr. Greeley won the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes. So Horse Greeley won Grade 2 Stakes as a two-year-old, placed in Grade 1 Stakes. And he stands for $2,500 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Boy, you better get to him quick, because he's siring runners. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Is that Michael?
Is that Michael out there? Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody's driven him over.
Well, I told you we had a new sponsor, and it's Hill and Reagan Parker, and that's LexHorseFarms.com is their website, LexHorseFarms.com. And I'll give you the phone number. You can pick it up there at the from the website. And they work as a team. You get two for the price of one, Hill and Reagan. They're nice people. They've over 12 years' experience in real estate. And as I said earlier, I know that I'm going to find out about Reagan, but Hill's as a hands-on horseman. He understands the horse business. He's a licensed trainer, an A-level pony clubber. As I said, he's got the best-behaved horses I've ever seen. And great references. Everybody that knows Hill and likes him, you can't help but like him. He's just a nice guy, and he comes from a nice family. And they've got present listings on their website, which is LexHorseFarms.com, and just about in Fayette and Bourbon and Jessamine, Woodford, Scott, and Clark. Got an outstanding variety of location sizes and prices on all kinds of farms. And they know what horsemen want and what they're looking for, and they'd be delighted to list your farm, and they'll work real hard for you, and they're somebody you can trust. Good people. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And here's their phone number. It's an 859 number. They live in Lexington. It's 608-8039. 608-8039. That's real horse people, and they're helping real horse people. So give them a call. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, LexHorseFarms.com. Good morning.
Hey.
I think I got another commercial to do here. And why don't you all sit down? And I'll talk about Street Hero, because he's siring runners, stands for 5,000, doing a full stands and nurses. With but one crop to race a full season, he is the sire Gabriel Charge, winner of the $100,000 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Preview Stakes, and second in the Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita. Backstreet Hero, second in the $100,000 Clever Trevor Stakes. Dirty Swag, terrible name, but a good horse, placed in the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes at Hollywood Park after winning a maiden special at Del Mar. Fourth in the Real Quiet Stakes was Simon Eyes. They'd won a maiden special at Keenan. Any Rider Will Do has won two non-claiming races at the fairgrounds. He's a colt to watch. Rocket Special won a maiden special first time out at Aqueduct. And there are others too numerous to mention here. Street Hero won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes at 2 and also placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. And he's by champion Street Cry. So I have seven champions, including the Great Zenyatta. Street Hero's fee again, $5,000, doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, Chance Tim, and check the website at windstarfarm.com.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good morning, Michael Blowen.
Morning, Ursula.
Let me hear about your trip to Beulah Park.
Oh, it was fabulous. A Monday afternoon at Beulah Park. Well, if you can have, well, I think the wind pool was like $2,000 for the race. But anyway, we had a ball. I did have a ball, I have to admit. It was a lot of fun. My friend Tony Chase's horse, trained by Tim Wilson, won.
Mm-hmm.
Paid $10. That was good. Paid for the gas and a couple of six packs of beer. That was good. It's always a good thing.
I hope you drank all the beer. I hope whoever was driving didn't drink the beer on the way home.
I'm sure that didn't happen.
Okay.
But after a Monday at Beulah Park, nobody could arrest me.
You know, that's a nice paddock up there.
I know it is. It is. It is. It just reminded me of my days at Suffolk Downs in the winter. It was a really, really cold day, and yeah, everybody was a veteran there. You know, it was like everybody was a veteran. I think they had four mutual clerks and everything else. But it was, I have to admit, it was really a lot of fun. And it was, no matter where you get in the winner's circle, it's fabulous.
What was the pot? How much was the pot?
I think for a win, he got 1,600.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Isn't
that
sad? Yeah. Beautiful, but not bountiful.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah. My friend Fred and his wife Diane are visiting from Arizona, and Fred's the artist that does that.
I've been here before.
Yes. He made the bronze sculptures for our Frankel Award that we give away up at Ohika Castle before the Belmont, and also for the Ferdinand Ball Award that we give away before the Derby.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That is great.
And got other friends from Phoenix, too. My friend Jim Ponte, he does all our printing for free. He's here this weekend, too. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
All these guys you depend on.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fabulous guys. And then they took me out for dinner last night and paid for it.
Oh, he's
it was unbelievable. Hey, it was fabulous. We had a ball. And we all went to the races yesterday. I mean, it was wild.
Yeah. Big crowd.
Big crowd. Happy crowd.
How was the traffic going out?
Fine. I went in the back way.
I went in the back way, and
I mean, it was easy. I mean, it was just like simulcast day. It was nothing. Yeah. And that was at noontime. So it wasn't like, you know, it was well into it, but it was great. You just park there, you take the shuttle up there, and it's easy going.
Yeah. You remember the Thoroughbred Club?
Are you kidding? Who's the Thoroughbred Club going to make me a member?
Oh, it's not exclusive. We used to belong.
No.
Oh, it isn't? Okay, no. Good. I'll apply then. Who do I talk to?
I'm a dropout. I used to be a member, but.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They take anybody.
They take anybody. Yeah. That's good. Is that their motto in Latin? We take anybody. Yeah.
Anyway,
you know, I have a whole series of programs from the Thoroughbred Club dinners all the way through the 70s and 80s. All the different programs for that dinner.
I'm trying to think. The first one I went to, I might have been George Schweinbrog. Maybe went to Duck Charlie's. Okay, Joe Estes.
Bill Hancock's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to several. I can't remember them all, you know, but it's usually a good time. When I first started going, it was at the old Phoenix Hotel.
Oh, yeah?
And I started going.
Could you bet in the basement back then?
Probably. I don't think you had to leave the Thoroughbred Club, to tell you the truth, to go to the basement. But that was when I first went to work for the Blood Horse, when it was on High Street. And you do all you do is walk across the viaduct,
sure.
And you're right there, you know. So we used to go down there, have lunch down there all the time. And you'd go in. It was fun. You'd go in, and there'd be a bunch of old horsemen in there. And, you know, I mean, the bull, you know, they had to muck it out after lunch every day, you know, because all the bull was slung. But it was fun.
Yeah. Wow.
That was, as I said, that's when the Blood Horse was on High Street. Yeah.
Well,
prior to that, it had been on the corner of Walnut, which is now Martin Luther King and Short.
Oh, right.
And that building's still there.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was on the third floor.
Lexington has some great buildings. Yeah, they really do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still there. Look, last time I was in Lexington, I avoided Lexington like the plague.
I know the big city for you and everything.
I know. I'm going to move to Centerville. It's
a lot of headaches. And then I should mention that on Monday, we're having our Jockeys Appreciation Day at Old Friends at 1 o'clock, and people can come and meet the jockeys.
Day after tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Day after tomorrow, Craig Perrette's coming. I talked to Rosie Napravnik yesterday, and she's coming, and McCarran's coming, and John Cougay's coming, so I got to talk to Julian Le Perreux today and see if he's going to come. So,
well, there should be a bunch of them here that should come.
And they can tell stories about
you,
all their horses. No, they don't tell stories about me, but they do tell great stories about riding these horses.
Yeah.
And Julian Le Perreux talking about Ball Four, and Rosie Napravnik rode a horse we have named Salzburg. It's really, really great. It should be a lot of fun. We'll have some soft drinks and stuff and some things that the jockeys
can
say. Monday. At 1 o'clock.
Yeah, day after mañana.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Getting back to Beulah, there was something about that paddock. You had to lead the horse the wrong side or something like that up there before the races. What was that? You know, I mean, not lead them on the wrong side, but it felt like you were. There was something weird about that. You remember that, Jackie? There was something weird about
that. There's a crossing. It's intersected right down the center by a path.
Yeah.
And so people that didn't know where they were leading their horses, sometimes instead of just going around in a circle, you had the option of making a shortcut. And the horse identifier would stand in sometimes in the middle. So you'd bring your horse there, and so one would be going one way, one would be going the other way. I mean, it was a little,
yeah,
it was a little odd.
Yeah, a lot of ship-ins there,
but a lot of, yeah.
You have to get Bird and Jones to tell you his story about the first time he ran one up there, and it's a great story. I won't say it here, but it's
oh, I can't wait.
It's funny. Get him to tell you.
I can't wait. He lost a nice stallion there the other day. Slough City Slough died a few days ago.
Oh, did the old horse finally go? Gosh, how old?
Yeah, Lava Man Sire. I think it was 20. I want to say 27 or 28. Yeah. But Lava Man Sire. He said he had some nice horses.
Yeah, he loved that horse.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he stood.
I wanted to get him at Old Friends, but that was not going to happen.
Oh, no. He wouldn't have turned him loose.
No.
Yeah. He'd have turned Brett loose first.
That's He's already turned Brett loose, and thank goodness he has. Brett's doing a great job.
Yeah. Right. That's fun.
I bred a mare to him.
Did you breed a mare to him, Doc?
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
I didn't know you were a breeder also.
Oh, my.
Are you kidding? He's got a
diversify.
He has a mare named Lady Byers.
Is that right?
And she's in bow, and she's doing.
Named after Susan. Why don't you just name it Susan and get it over with?
She's gonna get everything anyway.
So yeah. she's in. Who's she in bow to, Lady Byers?
Bergen's horse.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. She's due. So,
yeah. Well, which one's your breeder to
Istan.
Then? Huh?
Istan.
Okay, Istan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Son of Gone West, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh. You're doing pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
First full 3-year-olds, I believe, this year. I believe that's right.
No.
Maybe four.
381.
I think they had, a 3-year-old last year ran.
No. Come in, Governor Jones. Explain this to us. End the confusion.
I said 4-year-old, Doc.
Oh.
Okay.
It's doing the math now.
Yeah, but they're 4-year-olds now.
Now, yeah.
As 3-year-olds, he ran last year with
there it is.
Ran second in the Belmont.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of the Belmont, we're collecting Belmont halters from Belmont winners to have for our auction up at Belmont Park, and halters from Derby winners to have at the party that they're having up at the Racing Hall of Fame for old friends on Derby Day when they have their Derby Day party at the Hall of Fame. So this is really cool. This really nice guy came over yesterday from Calumet with a Point Given halter, and he used to take care of Gulch. I miss seeing him because I was out playing the horse at the track and goofing off. But I can't wait to meet him. It sounds like they're doing great things at Calumet to fix, maintain it and fix it up and upgrade everything.
It looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous. It looks really, really gorgeous. So we're very grateful. And if anyone out there has a Belmont winner that they're fortunate to have standing stud at their gorgeous farm and would like to donate a halter to old friends, we'll make ourselves available.
I'm sorry about that I don't have one for you. We got a couple old River Downs halters. You want something?
Yeah, well, why not? Well, we're going to do a big celebration for Sarava's Belmont win in 2000. Yeah.
Have you got a halter? A Sarava halter?
Yeah, I just put it on him.
Oh,
he's in my yard. Yeah. That's not that hard.
That's a Ralph
and then
Cullen halter.
Then I donate it to myself.
That's it. Yeah.
I go, here, you can have it. I go, thank you.
You're running a halter a day.
Yeah. Right. Whatever it takes. It's the man of war philosophy. Yeah. Just keep them coming.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, let me take a break here. We'll get Doc on, see what he's got to talk about today. Talk about one of my favorite horses, Mizzen Mast. Mizzen Mast, of course, the sire of Misdirection. Winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf with 2 more graded stakes this year and of over $1 million. She is the best grass sprinter on the West Coast and probably in the nation. Mizzen Mast, also the sire of Flotilla. Winner of the $1 million Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf in her only start in the USA. He's a sire of Grade 1 Stakes Winner Mast Track, earner of over $928,000. A Grade 1 winner Ultimate Eagle. Went over $547,000. Grade 1 winner Midships earned of over $528,000. That's 5 Grade 1 stakes winners. Mizzen Mast stands for $15,000 live foal. Michael Cirolo, who is a partner in Oceanic Bloodstock, planned the mating, which resulted in Breeders' Cup winner Flotilla, said it best when he described Mizzen Mast as a great value as a sire. Mizzen Mast stands at Judmont Farm, also the home of the genetic masterpiece, First Defense. First Defense and his first crop are sired to Group Stakes winner and a strong contender for the Kentucky Oaks. His the 2013 book includes a remarkable group of mares from Judmont Farm, and he stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Of course, Mizzen Mast stands for $15,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, Macho Uno, following a top 10 ranking on the North American sire list last year, is off to another outstanding year in 2013. He's a sire this year of Silcita, recent winner of the Grade 3 Bourbonnais Oaks, of Mucho Mas Macho, winner of the Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale Stakes at Gulfstream, of Private Zone, second in the Grade 2 Palos Verdes Stakes after winning stakes last year, of My Name is Michael, placed in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, High Maintenance, second in the Sakata at Aqueduct, and Overheard, winner first time out and then placed in the Allen LeCompte Memorial at the Fairgrounds in his second start. Macho Uno, fee $20,000, doing a full stanza nurses, stands in Adina Springs with the stallions Awesome Again, Go Zapper, Einstein, Giacomo, and Tiago. Go Zapper was represented by his sixth 2013 stakes winner. He ranks number one in that category on March 30 when Za Approval won the Grade 3 Appleton. Awesome Again is a sire of five 2013 stakes winners. Only Go Zapper is sired more. And Giacomo is also a proven graded stakes sire. This bodes well for the futures of Einstein and Tiago, both Grade 1 stakes winners and multimillionaires. For more information about the Adina Springs Stallions, contact Eric Hamelback at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adinaspringsstallions.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
All righty, well, I'm talking to Dr. Doug Byers. Now, Doug, somebody, I was talking to somebody about you yesterday. I forget
trouble
who it
right
was.
Off the start.
Pardon?
Trouble right off the block.
Well, I'm trying to think who it was. It'll occur to me somewhere.
Well,
if I think of it in the middle of the night, I'll give you a call.
Okay. I'll get up first thing the next day.
Yeah. You mean you're not going to answer your phone in the middle of the
night?
I'll
let Michael answer.
Okay.
And then they'll get so discouraged.
Well, I just call Michael and he can pass you the word the next day. All right. Well, what are we going to talk about today, Doc? What's
always your... pick on the young guy.
Yeah.
Well, around here, I guess you are.
I am. That's right.
Well, we're going to let Michael answer a few questions about parasites.
Yeah, there's Mike.
You don't really want him around too much. That's the answer to the first question.
I've known a few.
Go ahead.
Well, the most infamous parasites are the large and small strongyles get into the stomach. And the small strongyles have not been recognized as much of a pathogen. And that's because the large strongyles, which have been kind of eliminated because of worming to get those little red worms that you would see pass in the manure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the large ones would be there, and they were called blood worms.
Yeah,
and they go into the blood vessels and get blood clots and all. Well, they've been eliminated by the vigilance of the worming programs. But the small strongyles kind of emerged as a pathogen, and they were always considered to be a non-pathogen.
Mm-hmm.
But now the small strongyles get into the stomach area, and we associate them with ulceration and other problems that become significant. Anyway, they're out there. and our warmers do a pretty good job, but the worming has a catch-22 because now we're so vigilant with the small strongyles that they get a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have trouble. And so you really, if you take your older horses and check the egg counts, the small strongyles persist pretty much, as whereas the large strongyles used to be very vulnerable, and that's what kind of got them eliminated. So you go out and you take a manure sample and you take it to the diagnostic lab and you do an egg count. And if you have minor levels of the egg count, that's probably good. You don't want them sterile,
mm-hmm.
because then you want to get a small exposure to those. Michael knows all this, but anyway.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I'll remember it, but I'm trying.
Well, anyway, they clean up the best you can, and some of them don't threaten the other horses, and your egg counts stay low. But if you get enough contamination, what you want to do is find out who the Queen Mary is, or the Typhoid Mary, and eliminate and worm those as individuals,
uh-huh.
and don't just go through the group. And so we wormed so aggressively for the last 25 years that we created an additional problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's part of it. Then we can take roundworms. Again, we're back to Michael. What are the roundworms?
Speaking of roundworms.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Very nice.
So they are ascarids, roundworms,
mm-hmm.
and they migrate through the lungs of a foal. Once they pick up the...
Mm-hmm.
So within about 2 weeks of life... I'm sorry. 4 weeks of life, they migrate through the lungs, and they get these larvae in there, and they can do some damage to the lung area. And so you worm with them to get rid of the ascarids. And you don't always become effective. So you could be with a perfect worming record, and the ascarids get in there, and they become resistant, and so it's hard to clean them up. So and so you can take a perfect worming program and look at your egg counts for ascarids and the roundworms. Proliferate, and so you've got to get them cleaned up, and they don't always clean up. The roundworms are the long worms that go through the manure, and they're like a string. They're very obvious, and so you've got to clean them up, and it's not always easy to do that. And so you'll get a lot of colics in well-wormed horses that the will proliferate. We'll keep on hammering on Michael here. So then we got tapeworms. No response.
Well, I don't have them, as far as I know.
Well, they used to.
But the same thing in humans. Get in the gut.
Yeah, they want to get people take them and still get prescribed for them for weight control.
And they used to give them to people.
Yeah.
In pills, those early weight control pills that they used to advertise in the comic books had tapeworms in them.
Yeah. So they're out there, and they're reasonably non-pathogenic, but they do have a tendency to get into the cecalcholic valve between the large and small intestine, and so they can plug up a horse and create some problems. So they're one, and we have peroxidequil as a compound that we can use. Otherwise, in the old days, you use all kinds of concoctions to get them, and you can sometimes see them in the manure. They pass as little segments and called proglottids, and so you can see those things occasionally there. So again, you just become aware and don't panic if you got parasites in there, because a lot of them are not a bad guy. It just is something that they would have.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How?
Yes, you in the back.
Yeah, thank you. How old? Wait a minute. How fresh does manure have to be to take a fecal sample? I'm not going to follow that old horse around.
I'd say with a day or two. I can't tell you specifically, okay, but it depends on the parasite.
Okay.
So,
I'm not following him. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yeah. We got lungworms. We don't see lungworms too much in horses, and they're carried by donkeys. Donkeys have resistance to them, and they carry the live one, and so the horse that picks up enough of it, then they cough, and the coughing is dry and a hack, and again you have to worm them but the lungworms are out there. We just don't have as many donkeys, to spread them. So, but lungworms are there. Another one that we kind of don't pay attention to too much, but we do in the folds, and that's the coccidia and the small parasites, the protozoa. Is what we call them. And so you put them on your probiotics to compete with the coccidia. And then there are some sulfa drugs that we would use to clean them up. But they're not easy to clean up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's about it. So Michael got a score of 2 out of 20.
That used to be flunking in my days.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, right.
But they're out there, and you got to look for them.
All right, Doc.
And I got a guy for an example, has some horses that got to have a parasite problem. They can't find it, but they've got a 2-year-old and 5 yearlings that just don't gain weight.
Huh.
So,
yeah.
We're going to have to look a little
bit. They'll figure it out. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. So,
that gives me an extra 3 out of 20. I get an extra point for sucking up to the teacher, don't I?
All right.
All right, Doc. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let me take a little break here and I'll get right back. It was Sons of Unbridled make headlines at stud. Empire Maker, of course, he's no longer available for stud duties in this country. Ranked number 2 on the North American sire list last year. Broken Vow side, 19 stakes winners last year. He's went on his way to best in that with 5 already this year. Unbridled Song is the sire of Greydar. Winner last Saturday of the Grade 2 $400,000 New Orleans handicap. Moose and Far is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $625,000, and he's sired by Unbridled. He won graded stakes at Keeneland and at Belmont Park, was beaten less than a length in grade 1 stakes. In fact, he won a place in 9 graded stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial. From his first 9 starters, Mustafa has sired 6 winners
two others have placed, and four of his six winners are multiple winners, including five-time winner and stakes place, Muthiba. So given the opportunity, Moose and Farr can put you in the winner's circle for a reasonable fee, $2,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stay manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right. Somebody else is getting discounts down at Quill and Tack. If you're a local and you walk in the door at Quill and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky, you get a 10% discount right off the top. And if you can walk out the door, you said?
Yeah, carrying it.
Oh, carrying it. Yeah, all right. Oh, she'll throw me off every time. Anyway, so that's for local people now. Now, that's not to, if he has to mail it to you, he nicks that because they ship out about 20,000 halters a year down at Quill and Tack because it's the best leather tack shop, in certainly in Kentucky. And no two ways about that. And it's down in Paris. It's if you're coming in from Lexington, go to the fourth stop right and look, stop light. Get my mouth fixed here. And look to your left, and there's Quill and Leather and Tack. Got a great gift shop there. Even the tourists are stopping by down there now. He does favors for people like Michael Blowen.
Yes, sir.
And he's a... putting a halter a day on Sarawa right now. And so he can
keep them coming.
So he can sell them. Did you hear that, Ralph?
I'm glad you're working on Saturdays, Ralph.
Well, he knocks off at noon, I think, on
Saturday. Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he does.
Closes at Saturday.
And now that the brewery is close to opening, I'm sure he's nudging that a little, too.
If Ralph's not there, go in and ask for Sandy or Debbie, and they'll take care of you. And it's a fun place to visit. It's Quillin Leather and Tack. Go to QILLIN.com. And these have been open since 1982. How many years is that?
Wow.
Well, I should know that. That's the year Jack and I got married. How long we've been married? It'll be 31 years in May.
That's it, 31.
Yeah, right. How about that? My old Russell Cave math stands well. That's Quillin.com, Leather and Tack. Well, there are two grade one runners by Galileo at Stud in Kentucky. Eclipse Award winner Cape Blanco and champion three-year-old Midas Touch. The two met in the classic Group 1 Irish Derby, with Cape Blanco winning a head-bobbing duel. Midas Touch, a Group 2 winner going into the Derby, was named champion three-year-old colt, and he went on to compete at the Group 1 level not only in Great Britain, where he placed in the classic Group 1 St. Ledger, but in Australia as well. The son of the world's leading sire, Midas Touch is out of the high-class stakes mare Approach. She's a stakes winner, who also placed in Grade 2 stakes at Keeneland. Approach is a half-sister to Aussie Rules, winner of the classic French 2000 Guineas and of Keeneland's Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile. The family has produced numerous classic performers and black-type horses as far as the eye can see. Midas Touch is standing its first season of stud for $10,000 live foal. Breeding incentives are available at War Horse Place. They're also the first young year stallion standing there, Mythical Power and Santiva. Ask about the Breed Secure program. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger, 859-509-0053, or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157, and see the website, warhorseplace.com. Michael Blowen, you going to races?
Yeah. I'm going to bring you the new addition to this one.
I've got a new addition to it.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. They gave me one the Daily Racing Form gave me.
Good.
Yeah, nice people at the Daily Racing Form.
They're fabulous, us, yeah. I'll tell you.
Somebody give Otto his works over there. Jackie? Well, there's clockers over there. What am I talking about?
Handle it. They're doing a fabulous job.
Well,
I know.
I just got to take care of my friend Otto.
Dr. Byers was when Galileo coughs, they send the plane and go get Dr. Byers and bring him over to Ireland. Look at Galileo.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew you liked the horse.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, how could you not?
I know, he's fabulous, and I think it's a great idea that War Horse is doing that. It's going to introduce all those new bloodlines in here. I think it's going to be really nice.
Yeah, as far as I know, that there's just two of them, Cape Blanco and Midas Touch. You know.
Yeah,
Gary Assinger, you know Gary?
No.
Jerry's a nice guy.
I think I met him.
Well, I think he's coming back here Monday.
Yeah.
He's shipping back in from Florida. He's got a training center down there of his own. And where he goes and spends the winter, I asked him if he needed some help down there, and he said no. He liked to hire quality people. So I was out. So anyway, but it wasn't that bad a winter anyway. So
not too bad. It's nice today. So everybody come out and visit. We got the old horses are really looking forward to seeing everybody. And as I mentioned before, it'd be nice to see people on Monday. You can meet Craig Perrette. Talk to Rosie Napravnik coming off their fabulous season at Fairgrounds. She demolished, you know, I think she had 20 more wins than the second leading rider down there.
She's going to ride in Kentucky this year, isn't she?
Yeah, she rode yesterday. She's got some mounts in today.
Yeah, I mean, she's staying at Churchill. I wonder.
Yes, yeah. And then she's, I think, she's going to go to Saratoga.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. She's wonderful.
She can flat ride now.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be great to see her and all the others, and they'll tell you stories about the horses that they rode, and then you can go feed the horse a carrot and get your picture taken with them.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. So it's at 1 o'clock at Old Friends on Monday, so come on by. No dark days at Old Friends.
No dark. All right, Michael.
See you, Ursula.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for the racing form. I appreciate it.
Okay.
That starts me $7 a head.
Well, I'll share, you know.
If I come back with a profit, I'll bring you money next.
I have read it from cover to cover.
I love it. I know. You've already marked it up.
Yeah. All right. All right, Jackie, you want to sit down and do something? No, she's standing up there talking to me. Okay, Doc. Thank you for coming by. Well, Orba, three-year-old Cobra Malibu Moon moved to the head of the list of Kentucky Derby favorites with his impressive win in the Grade 1 Florida Derby last Saturday. He's number one now with 150 Kentucky Derby points. The win was his fourth in a row, and it came at the direct expense of It's My Lucky Day, who was seeking his third straight win at Gulfstream. Orb, bred by Stuart S. Janney III in the fifth stable, was trained by Sugar McGahee, won the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in his previous start, and he's earned over $921,000. He's the sixth Grade 1 stakes winner by Malibu Moon, who stands at Spendthrift Farm. Also at Spendthrift is the young graded stakes winner and track record breaker, Temple City, by Dinah Former. At a Malibu Moon's half-sister, she's by Danzy. It's a fantastic sire family. Temple City's first foals are yearlings, and he's eligible for Spencer's very popular breed secure program. Give Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Mark Toothacker, and Ned Toffee a call, 859-294-0030. Talk to them about Temple City and any other young Spendthrift stallions eligible for the breed secure program, and check the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Want to talk about Lubricin? First of all, I'm going to mention Lubricin because of the it's one of the products that was developed by Dr. Steve Alday that's been endorsed by, well, as trainers, you know, some of the top trainers in the country, Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Mager, they use it. Lubricin, they got it for humans as far as that self goes, and it helps old codgers like me. And it's two products that I happen to believe in are Lubricin and Reborn. And both of them are endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians, as I just said. And all are natural. They're all natural, and they're test-free, so you don't have to worry about it when they walk into the spit box. And Lubricin, of course, helps eliminate painful hyaluronic and acid injections and those things, so use that, I tell you. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole, concentrated, natural bovine colostrum. It's safe. It's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. Strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while they're nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. So it's a good additive to the mare's natural colostrum, which is always short. Actually, it's in short supply, I should say. So it supports immune functions in horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. Reborn. Now, they're both available over at KBC in Lexington and Horse Sense down for sales. And I hope, I forgot to check with my good friend Ralph Quillen, but I think they've got it down at Ralph Quillen there. He said he was going to get it to sell, so we'll see. All right, or you can go to the website and check them out. That's Lubrisyn, or RebornE. Two wonderful products, Lubrisyn and Reborn.
Guess who didn't bring the kids?
Oh, Hill Parker just showed up here.
No kids.
Wait a minute, have I got another commercial here? Yeah, I got a pin oak to do. I've lost my place already. Well, Broken Vows is our 5 2013 stakes winners. Only Gold Sapper, fee $40,000, has more. Last year, Broken Vow had 19 stakes winners, a figure bettered only by Giants Causeway, 85,000 life hole, and Spitestown, 60,000 life hole. Broken Vow, by the sire of sires and bridle, stands for 25,000 life hole, stands over Pin Oak Stud. Of course, that's the home also of Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. And the first foal is by Cowboy Cal at 2 year-olds. One sold for $450,000 at the recent OBS March sales. They look and act like runners. Now, Cowboy Cal won the $125,000 law for Tootie at 2 shortly after sprinting a mile and won 34 to break his maiden at Belmont. Went on to win 5 graded stakes at 3 and 4, placing in 6 others, 4 of them grade 1, for earners of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal by Giants Causeway stands for 7,500 live foal. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic also stands for 7,500 live foal. Show me another sire of over 100 stakes winners and 100 stakes horses and 59 stakes winners and 6 champions standing for such a reasonable fee. Inquiries of Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. Number over at Pin Oak is 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? I'm talking to Hill Parker. I'm going to tell a story on you first thing, Hill.
Great.
Well, I want to say first he was going to bring the girls.
Well, he was going to bring Regan and the girls. Where are they?
Well, you know how women can be sometimes.
Oh, well, that stinks.
Well, I can relate to that. Yes, I do.
I'm glad you're outnumbered myself.
Yeah, you got 2 daughters, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, the story I was going to tell, he trains out of here at the training center. He has been for, gee whiz, a long time. Off and on.
1989.
That's relatively recent, but I've known him at least that long. And
he's getting old.
Comparatively speaking. And he gets on his own horses. And even though he stands 6'4" and weighs 210 pounds. No, that's not true. But I've watched him breeze, you know. And he times his own horses. And he'd be coming down to the wire down here. And one day, Millie Foyon and 2 or 3 other people were out here. And here comes Hill flying down through here, you know, and he get right up to the finish line. And I said, now you watch him. Look at his watch. Sure enough, he hits that finish line, and he looks down at his stopwatch. In his watch, he's wearing on his arm.
Yeah,
everybody up here cracked up, you know.
Yeah, that's that old cross-country competing, right?
Eventing, but also steeplechasing.
Did you ride steeplechasers?
Yes, for years. How many broken bones would you like me to tell you about?
Wow.
I always knew he was half silly. Now I know why.
I know. Absolutely. How many broken bones you got? No kidding.
I really can't remember, but I've broken my 2 collarbones something like 7 times. I've broken my back twice, my jaw. I'm sure there's more, but I can't remember right this second.
Good Lord. So the reason you can't remember is the last one was your head, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Woo.
Well, the first one, too, probably.
Hey, don't scoot up a little closer to that mic. You've got a real soft voice. You realize that. Though. I said, I'd be sorry about it. It's just the way things
you
are.
You get about this close.
Yeah.
There you go. You're good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you've been training on the flat, but where are you from originally, Hill?
Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
You're Maryland bred?
Yes, sir. I'm a Maryland bred.
Okay.
Back when Maryland really used to still be one of the big racing capitals of the world, when Northern Dancer was still in Maryland. How about that?
Ah, yes. And they used to race at some of the, Bowie, Maryland, they raced up there? Well, Bowie had probably closed by the time you were known.
No. Bowie was still racing. And in fact, at the old Marlboro racetrack, my favorite story there is we didn't have a pony rider, and got run off with one time, six times around. It was a 5/8 mile track.
You're kidding.
But six times around the track. And finally, my stepfather came out with his coat and kind of shook it until the horse stopped. But he was a chaser, and he was only just then getting going.
Getting going. Wow. Six times around. Did you get any applause from people when he came
No, I just didn't fall off. I was just thankful at that point.
That's about all you can do in a case like that. Just hang on. Eventually, they'll get tired.
Yeah, sooner or later.
Yeah, that's what Susie's told us, several of them out here, you know, that they run off with. So just don't fall off. Stay on. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Susie ever have to pick you up out here?
No, but Susie does a great job taking care of all of our horses and getting them pony broke before they go to the races.
She's really
just an absolute wonder. And Robin and Worm, too. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, Susie's a clocker now.
Oh, okay. Well,
she got her hip replacement.
She had a hip replacement.
I thought she was going back to it. But I guess she had some sense come to her after all. There we go.
Well, I think she's going to fill in.
Yeah, and I think bit on Sundays and
Mondays or something like that.
No clock.
She was the other day I was talking to her, and she says, I think it's two more weeks before they let her even start to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was your family in the horse business?
Absolutely. Okay. In fact, I have a picture of me when I'm about two on a horse.
Thoroughbreds.
Well, steeplechasers off the track that didn't work as flat horses for the most part, but we'd run them on the flat too.
And were you raised on a farm?
Yes, sir. In fact, I used to, when I was little, even though we were 15 miles outside of Washington, D.C., I used to be able to go trail ride. And what's scarier is my parents would let me do this all day, every day. And we didn't have cell phones. If I'd fallen off, I keep wondering what would have happened. But it was a different day and age. We lived in a different day and
age. Probably no helmet.
No, I did have a helmet. I do want you to know that my mother always insists that I had a helmet. But this was long before flak jackets or anything like that.
So. Yeah. This was in Maryland. Did they have a farm up there?
We did. We were down next to the Patuxent River Park.
Do you still own it? The family still own it?
Mom still owns the farm, but literally it's subdivisions or commercial development all around us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'd say it.
Yeah,
exactly. Does Mom have any horses?
She does. I mean, they're basically retirees, but she's got a chaser in training with Richard Boucher, and she's got another one in training with Jason, but I'm drawing a blank on poor Jason's last name.
That's all right.
Will they come to High Hope, or will they go to Nashville? That depends on how good they are.
Yeah, I don't think these are of any... They're really sweet. We love them, but you know what I mean. They're not that kind of horses.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not worth traveling too far with.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Let me take a break. I won't get back to you. And, of course, we haven't even scratched the surface here. Let me see where in the hell I am here. Oh, here we go. March 31 at Gulfstream, the grade $350,000 Rampart Stakes was won by Chow Bella. 4-year-old Philip of Giants Causeway bred by Chelston and trained by Todd Pletcher. And the next day, also at Gulfstream, the Secret Gray Stakes went to Course Gold, a 3-year-old filly by Giants Causeway bred by W.D. Burns, trained by Mark Hennig. Two stakes winners in as many days. That's the kind of performance we've come to expect from Giants Causeway, Stormcat's greatest son, three times the nation's leading sire. And from all indications, that's the kind of performances to be expected when the first 2-year-olds but Dunkirk hit the races. That's what buyers at this year's 2-year-old sales expect. Seven youngsters by Dunkirk were offered, all seven sold, and they averaged $185,000. A superb individual. He sold for $3,700,000 as a yearling. Dunkirk is one of 100 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, Sive Gradar, winner last Saturday of the Grade 2 $400,000 New Orleans Handicap. And he's out of the AP Indy Mare Secret status, winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 1 Mother Goose, and of over $1 million. The Grade 1 Classic runner himself, Dunkirk, stands for $10,000, doing the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Call the farm, 873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what Spitesdale
Spitestown was represented by a 6th Grade 1 Stakes winner last Saturday when Ronaldo the Great won the Group 1 Dubai Golden Shaheen Stakes. Among those preceding him was Hainesville, winner of the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Haynesfield was one of the most versatile and consistent runners of his day. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5. He won at distances from 6.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. He won 10 of his 19 starts, 8 stakes. Retired as the sire's leading money winner with earnings in excess of $1,319,000. Spitestown is sighing a remarkable 15% black type horses from foals. Now that's 15% black type horses from foals, not starters. And he currently ranks 4th on the North American sire list after concluding 2012, ranked 2nd among sires that stood in the USA. Out of a stakes winner, Haynesfield's family has given us dozens of high-class stakes winners. His first foals are arriving this year. He stands for 10,000 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones, the Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, starting the second hour here, and I'm talking to, they closed the big track up here, Hill. They're just down on the lower track now. And I've known Hill since he came out here in 89, I guess, as he told me that he was here. But I want to get back. You were riding when you were a kid, and when did you start to ride competitively? That's what I want to know. Did you?
Probably with Pony Club, but... in Maryland and Virginia, we also had junior races for kids. And I think I raced in my first one of those when I was about 12.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really great way to get kids, well, hooked. Maybe that wasn't a good, exactly. It was a good way to get the kids hooked. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it was really fun.
Did you ride big horses, regular size horses, or ponies?
No, regular size horses.
Okay.
How old were you when you started in Pony Club?
My mother would have to answer that one, but probably about 7-ish.
Okay. Now, your mother was involved with Pony Club, wasn't she?
Yes, sir. She was the DC for the Marlboro Pony Club for several years.
What's the DC mean?
District.
Commissioner.
District
Commissioner, yes.
Okay.
And Queen. That's what it means.
Queen Bee.
No, she didn't want to be queen, though. She said that was a thankless, unpaid job.
That's what I think it is. I think it is, being the local D.C.
Now, this when you started, with those jumps, over jumps that you were riding, those races at 12?
Oh, no. Those, they have the kids' flat races. They're usually about a mile on the flat.
Okay.
There used to be a real circuit of them. I don't follow the point-to-point circuit anymore, so I can't swear to that.
They had a point-to-point circuit up there. Still going?
I think so, but I don't know that it's as healthy as it once was. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of people would come from the hunt field, and they really would go take their fox hunters out and go race them over jumps, and and they had lots of kids' races. And
point-to-point's kind of fallen on hard times everywhere.
They have.
Because it used to be 20 years ago, they'd have point-to-points at Iroquois and different places, and people would pack them. And they even had one or two at the horse park. And now you can hardly get anybody to show up. People get finished hunting, turn them out, and that's kind of it. Too bad.
Hmm. Huh. I don't know much about that end of it, to tell you the truth.
It's just unsanctioned races, but usually for more amateurish people.
More amateurish?
We're still amateurs, you know, no matter where we are. But that's in the more even beginning phase of your amateurishness.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so when did you start going over jumps? Right. And
14. Actually, St. Louis, they had a steeplechase meet out there, and they would allow you to ride at 14. I don't know why they did that, but they did.
In Missouri. You went all the way down there to ride? Mm-hmm.
To go ride. And my little girl was second. She was age. And I think it was the best placing she ever had. So there, maybe she liked me as a jockey.
Is that right? Did you have a favorite horse? Was this one your favorite horse that you're talking
about? Well,
she told my little girl.
It was Snooks, but, you know, actually, I pony clubbed her. She went to like the National Games rally with her. She won the Maryland Regional Show Jumping Championships. I won with eventing through preliminary with her. I can't say she was a great racehorse, but boy, she did everything else you could ever ask her to in this whole world. And she's a you know, a chestnut, kind of had that fiery temper, you know, chestnut Philly type personality, but she was the kids. Yeah, third.
What was she by? Do you remember?
Friend's Choice. He used to stand in Maryland.
Friend's Choice. Yeah, I remember the name.
He was a good sprinter. Yeah. And hence the reason why she probably was not a good chaser going 2 and 3 miles. But, you know.
You trained him to go that far, though.
She was just so sweet. And even when I went to college, Mom sold her. And some other little girl had her. And same thing. You know, she would babysit you. Up one side, down the other, and you could do anything with her. You could take her in the hunt field. And
did you have a fox hunt?
Oh, for years.
Really?
I grew up doing
where?
That.
Which hunt?
Well, the Marlboro hunt, which is still actually real healthy at home. We don't hunt quite the same country that they used to, but
yeah, the hunts aren't doing badly.
No, they aren't. They continue to attract big people.
Yeah.
I mean, big, lots of people is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Not tall people, but. No. Many people.
Fat people.
Yeah. That too. That too. Yeah. So did you fox hunt around here now?
I did. Actually, when I came out here to college, I hunted with the Iroquois for several years.
Okay. All right. You did come to UK?
Yes, sir.
What did you major in?
Finance. I wanted to know how I could lose money on horses proper.
I bet you figured that out real quick.
Very well.
Oh, that's funny. That is.
Well, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't. But
been
it's,
there and done that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Well, you got out of UK, and then what did you do then? What did you start training right then, or?
Well, actually, I went home for a year, and I kept working for Mr. Cartwright. Ronnie Cartwright was a really great Maryland-based trainer of like homebreds, and
he. Do you ride in races for him?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I was just
flat racing.
Yeah, he was a flat.
Oh, he was flat, and you were too big.
But I'd worked for him for several summers. You know, when I was in high school and college. Ronnie Cartwright. Well, he's just a really great Maryland-based trainer, kind of the old school. You know, his idea of the vet was you called the vet when the horse was three-legged lame, and otherwise the vet never came near the barn.
Huh.
And probably the most interesting thing I found about him is every year he'd get, you know, 20, 30 Maryland-bred two-year-olds in, and he'd get all of them to the races. And
that's
every year he'd get two or three stakes winners. And
wow.
It was a very, you don't push him hard kind of thing, but at the same time, he always had him right. He kind of would write off their first two or three races, and after that, you'd see him develop into really nice horses. I mean, I don't know how many were grade one winners, but I mean, he had some. I know Ms. Zilbert was at least grade one place. She got beat ahead in a big race out at like the Matriarch or something out in California. But, you know, he could turn out a really great horse. Mm-hmm. Cassoulet's. I don't remember all of them.
Being from Maryland, did you know the Pons family?
I didn't. I'm sorry. I was in more southern Maryland.
Okay. Only one I knew was Josh. Okay. I met him when he was working for the Blood Horse many, many moons ago. What about the Christmases?
Yes. Actually, they were down in our neck of the woods, and they are probably some very distant relative of mine.
Is that right? Is it true that it was Ed? Anyway, one of them used to run his horses barefooted. At least
could be. I'm sorry, that one's going to be.
You mean
you're going to predate me on this one?
Hell, I predate everything. Don't feel bad about that. All right. Well, then you started training for yourself. Did you start training in Maryland or?
No, actually, I came back out here and I did that for about, I don't know, 10 to 12 years. But
you came to Kentucky just?
I came to Kentucky to go to the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, but you graduated.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
all right. I did it in 3 years. I want you to know. I had the reverse plan, which was I couldn't stand school and I wanted out.
Oh, so, there you go.
Well, now, something else I can relate to.
Yeah, right.
But
that's funny.
Yeah, well, but what I'm trying to figure out is when you came and why you came back to Kentucky.
Well, the female of the species causes us to do things at times that we look back and we go, why did I do that? But since I'm real happy with how my life has turned out, I'll say thank you, God, for watching out for me.
Well, good.
So where is your wife from?
Here, Lexington.
Oh, okay. Oh, now we're
you met her at UK?
No, I didn't. She actually went to UK and we graduated the same year. And we were very casual acquaintances, but no, that was a couple years out of college.
Oh, okay.
Well, how did you get together then?
Yeah, we had mutual friends and, you know, we kind of went out to dinner as groups a couple times and eventually I came to my senses and maybe she came to her senses too. And so anyway, she's real sweet.
Fine. You didn't say that.
Well, maybe I should say she lost her senses.
Okay. Good
point. Excellent point. Did she ride? Was she ever in the horse business at all?
No, ma'am.
No. Oh, okay. I just wondered.
And she decided she'd put up with that anyway.
She did. She did. In fact, I can say that the interesting thing is that she used to be able to go to the races, and she could pick the winner better than I ever could.
Oh, funny.
And her basic theory was that she would pick either the rider or the trainer, you know, with some combination of how the horse has been running lately. But she's like, the rest of y'all don't have a chance. So I was like, thanks, honey. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
That's funny. That's funny. I can't pick a winner either. Neither can Ursel.
No, I'm a terrible handicapper.
Why they we give you reasons why all of them are going to lose.
Yeah. So. I get thrown off a pedigree. You know, I say, oh, you know, it's a Giant's Causeway or something, you know. That's what happens to me.
Well, when you got married, were you training?
I was.
Oh, okay. Now,
you remember your first winner?
I do. My first winner was Gone By, and he won a steeplechase race in Chicago.
Oh, okay. So you were training steeplechasers here before you went to the flat?
A little bit of everything. I do everything.
Both.
Well, where do you train them over jumps if you're training steeplechasers here?
I don't anymore. But years ago.
No, I'm talking about then.
Well, years ago, I mean, you know, both Johnny Griggs and Bill Wofford had fairly large stables, and they'd let you come out and school with them. And Masterson used to have.
Masterson has some.
Some steeplechase.
They still do. Set up. Yeah.
Coming up the hill there, you could go school them, and it wasn't as big a push as you might think, but I only did it a short time out here anyway. So
Johnny Griggs just won a stakes race for Camden.
Oh, he did? Okay, well, congratulations to him.
I believe it was at Camden.
Okay, I'm afraid I don't keep up with steeplechasing the way I should.
Yeah, well, I'm nosy. I just get on there.
Yeah.
Go to Bloodstock Research and I look at it all. Okay. I even go to Mexico City.
Okay.
So did you have a farm at this time?
No, we didn't buy a farm till 1999.
Okay.
But I used to keep my horses out at John and Jenna McCann's. And, you know, that was down in the Iroquois Hunt country, but you could just go ride forever and go jumps.
Do a lot of up and down work, up in the hills.
Let me take a break here. We'll get right back to you, Hill. Well, yesterday at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Transylvania Stakes was won by Jack Milton, a 3-year-old colt by Warfront, bred by Cherry Valley Farm. This follows the win by Lions of Battle, another 3-year-old colt by Warfront, in the Group 2 $2 million UAE Derby last Saturday in his 3-year-old debut. Bred by Joseph Allen and trained by Aidan O'Brien, Lions of Battle won stakes and placed in group stakes at 2. In fact, he was one of 11 2012 stakes winners by his sire. Nationally ranked again this year, Warfront is a graded stakes winner by the Great Dancing. Last year, his sales yearlings averaged over $231,000, and he stands for $80,000 doing a full stand of nurses at Claiborne Farm. A young Claiborne sire to watch is Horse Greeley, a son of the internationally popular Mr. Greeley. The first foals by Horse Greeley are 3-year-olds, and he's the sire of two graded stakes winners in his first crop. Clearly now has won the Grade 3 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream and really Mr. Greeley, the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview.
Horse Greeley won Grade 2 Stakes as a 2-year-old placed in Grade 1 Stakes, and he stands for $2,500. Payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
No Biz Like Showbiz has sired 3 stakes horses in his first crop, including the New York Stakes winner Let Me Entertain You, a filly bred in Kentucky by Elizabeth Jones Volando, trained by Thomas Albertrani. Let Me Entertain You won a maiden special at Belmont by 6 lengths back in December, and in 2 starts since, she has won the Beru Stakes and placed in the Busher Stakes, both at Aqueduct. She's a filly with a bright future. In addition, Thank You Kisses and Gallant Performer placed in Stakes at 2 last year. No Biz Like Showbiz was a remarkable runner himself. He was assigned 122 pounds on the experimental at 2, winning the Grade 2 Remsen and running second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Hopeful. After breaking his maiden in his first start as a 2-year-old at Belmont, he competed in 12 straight graded races, all winning 7, including the Grade 1 Wood, for earnings of over $1,544,000. No Biz Like Showbiz was a flat runner, and he's siring runners at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. $5,000 payable when the foal stands in nurses. Call the farm at 859-252-3770. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at CrestwoodFarm.com. All righty, I'm talking to Hill Parker here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. He was supposed to bring his wife Reagan in and his daughters in. And
yeah, I'm mad about it.
He's soloed. So
I'm mad.
Tell Reagan I said she's chicken. That's what Teddy is.
She told me that I had miscalculated the time and they had a ballet rehearsal. So
Well. Do either of the girls ride?
No, ma'am.
You're kidding.
I'm a bad father.
Oh, you are. Bad boy.
Well, you know, thing about getting girls interested in it, that they don't think about boys for a long time.
Yes, but if their mother is vehemently opposed to it, one needs to be happily married.
Okay.
Okay.
So you chose the latter course.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe chose was the wrong word.
Gee whiz.
All right. Well, you remember that first winter you said, what about your first winter on the flat?
I'm sure it was Katima, and she won it. River Downs, so, but I can't really, it was less of a standout in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the only bad part maybe about flat racing is a lot of times we have less attachment to those horses. You know, steeplechaser, you know, oftentimes you spend so many times and so many years and so many, you know, repeated seasons of racing, they are your children. I mean, literally, they're members of the family. Yeah. You know, you could tell someone what their favorite thing was to eat and, you know, how they would beg for their food. And, you know, their personality really starts to shine through in your memory. And you really get to a point where they're your babies. And I do miss that. You know, some flat horses, they have such standout personalities. They do that for
They're all different, aren't they?
They are. But there's a lot that if you only race them a season or two, they're horse. You remember them. You love them. Yeah. But you know what I mean? You don't.
Right.
Did you ever get into the breeding end of it?
We did. Mom would, especially any of her mares that would race fairly well, she'd keep. And, I really only have one racehorse now, and he is a third generation homebred. So there. So.
Is that Rudyard Kane?
No. Rudyard's actually with Richard, going over fences. But he's only second generation. But
yeah, this was a horse by Kipling that they named Rudyard Kane.
Yeah, that's a great name. Yeah. Did your mom name that? Yeah.
Yes. But no, we have the little horse, the little chestnut horse that I have out here. Some, but he seems to be on the slow path, even though he's by City Zip. Who's ever thought of a City Zip as maturing late? But who knows? My City Zip will. There you go.
Is he out here or? Do you have him here and ship in?
No, I just ship him in.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about how well-behaved your horses are. You ship in
absolutely
and throw
the best-behaved horses.
I mean, they're like trail
I've
horses.
Ever seen.
Yes.
You know, I mean, for horses that are competing. I remember when you had that paddock back over there, and you would lead them in two at a time. You know, and I was telling Jackie, my God, if we tried that, we'd either be torn apart or
there'd be two loose horses.
Or one of them, at least one of them would be loose.
Absolutely. Well, when you have them, where are they now? Where is that horse?
Tom and Fonda Eichel's farm just down the road.
Oh,
Rosemont
okay.
Farm, right?
Yes, sir.
Rosemont.
Okay.
I met him one day. He was up here on the clocker stand.
He's got a horse over with Wayne Mogi. I know I say a horse. Maybe he's got two. But he's got a couple with Wayne Mogi.
Mm-hmm. Well, he picked a good man.
Yeah, Wayne used to be in our years ago, before he was married, and his kids are like 18 or 20. They were in our barn up here. Barn, what was it, 15 at the
15,
time?
15, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice bunch, the Mogis.
Yeah. You were up... You used to be in the old broodmare barn down there for a while, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this barn 25. And then you went up to the big barn, which was the Spendthrift barn.
We've all moved around the training center many times.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. We stuck in one place.
We paid our rent.
Now, wait a second. I promise. I paid my rent. I just didn't train them to run fast enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, now... You ventured into the real estate business, and you've been doing that for a dozen years.
I have. I mean, I can say at least for me, it was a really great decision. I get to use my horse experience, and yet, unlike the horse industry, where sometimes you feel like you're just helping people lose money, you feel like you can help people make great life decisions, and a lot of times, in fact, most times, we help people to make money. I mean, yes. People who bought in 2007 may not be feeling that way,
no.
But most people who bought before that,
yeah,
right.
Or even after that, they're finding they still have a great return on investment.
Yeah.
Went to your website, of course, and you've got a great variety of farms for sale.
Yes, sir.
All the counties around here. I went down through the list looking where they were, and Bourbon County, Fayette County, Jessamine County, Scott County, Clark County.
Oh, probably. Don't worry. We will take you on out to the even farther surrounding counties if you look carefully. Yes. From Montgomery to Garrett County to Mercer, Boyle, you know, we have some great, the inner bluegrass is certainly what people think of when they think of horse country, but there are sections of great horse land in the surrounding counties as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they are.
Yeah. I know Boyle County for sure. Yeah. Danville, Harrodsburg for sure.
Jim Fitzgerald just, of course, bought a nice place down in
Harrison.
And there was a really nice farm down in close to Carlisle. What county is that?
Oh, that's Bourbon, and then it goes into Nicholas. Yeah, well.
Nicholas County.
Nicholas.
Yeah.
Hughes. Where were they? Were they in Nicholas County? Ruth Hughes?
Forest Retreat.
Yeah, Forest Retreat. Is that it? Was that still in Bourbon or was that Nicholas County?
I believe that was in Nicholas.
Yeah, County. That's nice land down that way.
Oh, God, yeah. They raised, Derby Determined was raised there. Kentucky Derby winner. Raised Oaks winner down there. You know, it was the Asbury's, of course.
Now, you used to live out here on a farm.
Yes, ma'am.
You moved?
Yes, ma'am.
To town?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess that was your wife again.
Yes, ma'am.
I figured that one out, didn't I?
My favorite part of that whole story was Reggie wanted to move to town, which I don't blame her. Believe me, I understand. But when we went to move to town, I ended up moving in next door to my in-laws. That part wasn't really mentioned.
Oh, right next door, huh?
Great thing I have great in-laws.
Wasn't that built-in great? Babysitter right there. There, kids, go next door and play, will you?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's funny.
Your wife, Reagan's real sharp.
She is.
She's, yeah, girl planning. After my own heart.
Good planning. Where do they go to school, you girls?
Providence Montessori. Actually, that is a great school.
Where is it?
It is over off of Texaco, which is kind of on if you go out West Main, kind of just before you get to Metathorpe.
Oh yeah.
But it's a great little school. I can't believe, but both of my girls, you know, I mean, my 5-year-old's obviously in kindergarten, but both of my girls, they had them reading before they were in kindergarten.
Wow.
And they really enjoy doing things because I don't think they really understand that they're being taught. It's a great program.
Wow.
I mean,
that's super.
You know, they don't teach script in schools
they
anymore.
Do at Providence.
Oh, that's hallelujah. Yeah, that drives me crazy.
They do.
I just found that out. Kids can't write script. I think that makes you a little ignoramus myself. this wonderful girl that helps me with Betsy, she found out that her kids couldn't do it. She went to the parent teacher store and bought herself some books. She said, "You're going to learn it." And that's what she did. I'm proud of her. Proud to know her.
Well, the real estate business has been tough for the last couple of years.
It has been, but really, we've gone through the deepest part of the down cycle. The farms are still lagging behind the residential market, but the residential market is, in parts of Lexington, has not only completely recovered, it's actually appreciated over 2007
levels. Where? What, for instance,
mostly in 40502.
Yeah.
But the rest of the residential market, on a statistical average, if you just average it out, is still back at 2007 levels. The farm market's still beat up, but the best buys, it turns out, look like they were all last year. The buys this year, or the ones that are actually selling and going through, are already up over last year's prices.
So it's,
wow, interesting. Yeah. It's a good place to put your money the way things are.
It is. And the great thing about land is they don't make any more of it, and so therefore it will appreciate, you know, long term. In fact, I think there's many a horse owner who maybe their horse business didn't do so well, but they actually made enough money that on the sale of their farm that they could say, "Well, we made money."
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can always run cattle. At least it's income.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, that's one of those things. Huh.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
It is, yes, sir.
You know, like I say, you've got a wonderful listing on there. You'd love to list your place. You think about selling, so there you go. That website of yours is
LexHorseFarms.com.
LexHorseFarms.com. So go to it and check it out.
Yeah.
And
you don't look all beat up.
I am if you watch me walk after I get up.
Oh, okay. I just wondered because most of the people I know that rode steeplechasers are a couple of inches shorter and really crooked looking and busted looking. You look pretty one piece. It's amazing.
No, ma'am.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Here, you can just look at those collarbones.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
All right, well, Hill, I really appreciate you coming in. I'm sorry you didn't bring Reagan.
Thank you for having me.
And bring the girls sometime.
Yeah, just stop by.
I want to see them. I haven't seen them in forever.
I don't believe I've ever seen a 5-year-old.
Oh, you have. She's real cute. Real,
real just little looks like teensy, a mother. Weensy.
She does. She looks. Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. But yes, actually, she does. She not only looks like her mother, but she's sort of got her mother's personality, too. But the whole nine yards,
Do you all go up and see your mom much?
Oh, once or twice a year.
Yeah, well, she comes down here a lot.
She does.
Yeah. You know, love to see her on the Cocker Stand. Okay. She's so sweet. What a nice person. Like her a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell her nice we lady. Said hello.
Will do.
And what's Rudy K doing now?
He is supposed to run in about 2 weeks, so we'll see. I'm not sure whether he's going to run at Tryon or Middleburg, but Richard actually just called last night, and he was kind of getting his final work and school in next week, so we'll see.
You went a couple races crossed. With him.
I did. He's a really sweet horse. I mean, I don't know if all the Kiplings are as nice as he is, but I can tell you that is one of the few horses I've had in the last several years that his idea of seeing the vet was once a year for his inoculations. I mean, just there was just nothing wrong with that horse. Now, you know, you wish they could all be like that. That kind of felt like the old days, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have an ankle where you have to give them time, or the sore hocks, or you have to go call the chiropractor.
Having clocked him several times out here, I know he never made a wrong move. You know, I mean,
he just
was all business when he came out here.
Yes, sir.
He'll thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Keep in touch, my friend.
You too.
We'll be in touch.
Bye-bye.
Well, Ms. and Mass is the sire of Ms. Direction, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf, of two more graded stakes this year, and of over $1 million. She's the best grass sprinter on the West Coast, and to a proven otherwise, in the nation. Miz and Mass is also the sire of Flotilla, winner of the $1 million Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf in her only start in the USA. A Grade 1 stakes winner Mass Track, earn of over $928,000. A Grade 1 winner Ultimate Eagle, winner of over $547,000. A Grade 1 winner Midships, earn of over $528,000. That's five Grade 1 stakes winners. Miz and Mass stands for $15,000 live foal. Michael Cirolo, who is a partner of Oceanic Bloodstock, planned the mating, which resulted in Breeders' Cup winner Flotilla, said it best when he described Ms. Mass as a great value as a sire. Ms. Mass stands at Judmont Farm, home also of the genetic masterpiece First Defense. First Defense is the first crop sire in his first crop, has sired a group stakes winner and a strong contender for the Kentucky Oaks. The filly's going in the Gazelle today, incidentally. His 2013 book includes a remarkable group of mares from Judmont Farm, so he's getting support from his breeder, and he stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Vanders, there are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade $2 million Louisiana Derby was won by Revolutionary, and the $400,000 New Orleans Handicap went to Great R, and both winners were bred by Will Farish and raised at Lane's End Farm. In addition, the winner of the Grade $2 $300,000 Gulfstream Oaks, Dreaming of Julie, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, and Chowbella, winner of the Grade $350,000 Rampart at Gulfstream, was bred by Chelston and raised at Ashford Stud. Congratulations to all. Revolutionary, Dreaming of Julia, Chow Bella, and Great R are just the most recent major stakes winners to be raised on products from McCauley Brothers. The first feed mill in the nation to devote 100% of their time and research developing products exclusively for the horse. This single-minded devotion to the betterment of the horse is paying dividends. And runners like Revolutionary, Dreaming of Julia, Chow Bella, and Great R give solid testimony to the quality of those products. Join the winning team. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire. 859-873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. At McCauley's, it's all about the horse. All righty, opening day at Keeneland. We've got the Grade 1 action. We've got Steve Moody, who's author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheets, going to give us the winner. How you doing, Steve?
Doing all right, Ursel. We got the Grade 1 Ashland, 76 running, long-held stakes today. Field of 16 drawn, but we had three scratches. The 14, Magical Moon, 15, Adriani, 16, Cash's Queen have all scratched. I know the 15 Adriani is entered in a race tomorrow. Looks like that she could be tough in that race tomorrow. So we got a field of 13 three-year-old fillies, and there is a rider change on five horse, and that's going to be Rosie Naprovnik is picking up the mount on the five.
Who took off?
Broken Spell. This is a, you know, this race is always a tough one, Ursula. You always have a, it's usually a big field, and we have it going again this year. And you 3 year old fillies that are fairly lightly raced and obviously can improve dramatically, one race to the next. But, you know, this to me kind of came down to, sort of a repeat of last fall's Alcibiades, which was won by Spring in the Air, who came in here from Mark Cassie and got the job done. And, you know, I think she's got a good chance to keep her record at Keeneland perfect in here today. she came back and made her seasonal debut. Let's see, it was almost 4 weeks ago. Looked like she was going to be a winner with a furlong to run, and just got beat at the wire by her her stablemate, another Mark Cassie horse, a Spring Venture, who's in this race. But I think, you know, she may have needed that race. She'd been off. And I think she'll move forward today. She obviously has a affinity for the Keeneland surface, and given the fact that she won here last fall, I'm going to take her right back today in the Ashland. I think Spring Venture, who beat her in this race 4 weeks ago, I think she obviously has got a big chance in here too. They're both nice prices. Spring in the Air is at 8-1. Spring Venture is at 5-1. And a horse I think is going to be kind of rolling at the end of the race is a Broken Spell. And she's 15-1. She ran well both times she's been on the Poly track. Wayne Lucas, of course, is having kind of a resurgent year. He's got a couple horses on the Derby trail, so wouldn't surprise me at all. He'll have this one primed and ready to go. So we're going to take some prices in here in the Ashland, Ursula. We're going to go with Spring in the Air on top. That's the 11 over Spring Venture, the 4, and Broken Spell, the 5. 11-4-5. In the 76th Ashland Stakes.
Yeah, Mark Cassie trains those two fillies, and they both by Spring at Last.
Right.
First crop by Spring at Last. Nice fillies, both of them. That horse, Silver Deputy, stands over at Windstar Farm. All right. Very good. I wonder how the traffic's going to hold up going out to Versailles Road today.
Yeah, I know. They said yesterday that it wasn't too bad, but I would still say, given what the weather's going to be like today, really nice, and I would suggest going early because it's going to be a madhouse, I would think.
I bet it will. You going to watch the NCAA tonight?
Yes, we're going to see if we can't shock the world. That's all I can tell you, Ursula.
If Louisville gets beat, it'll be a shock, won't it?
Well, we've got to root for the Shockers. That's all I can say.
Okay. Right. Oh, well, this is the year of the card, isn't it?
It seems to be. They went in, you know, between going to the Sugar Bowl and getting the women in the Final Four and knocking off the big Goliath of the tournament, and then the men in the Final Four for the second year in a row. It's it's definitely, I know the Chinese say it's the year of the snake, but I guess they must have missed it. It must be the year of the cardinal.
And Patino's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's, you know, another salt in the wound. Oh, well, wait till next year.
All we can do.
No, that's all we can do. Steve, thank you so much.
Harder.
It's been Steve Moody, author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can buy that wherever you can find a daily racing form, including at the racetrack. And, of course, that's published by my good friends at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Great outfit. Well, Sons of Unbridled make headlines, but Stud, Empire Maker, of course, he's no longer available for stud duties in this country, ranked number two on the North American sire list last year. Broken Vow sired 19 stakes winners last year and is well on his way to besting that with five already this year. Unbridled Songs, the sire of Gradar, well, the winner last Saturday, the grade two $400,000 New Orleans handicap. Moost and Far is also by Unbridled, and he's a multiple graded stakes winner of over $625,000. He won graded stakes at Keenan and at Belmont Park, was beaten less than a length in grade one stakes. In fact, he won a place in nine graded stakes on dirt and grass and artificial. From his first nine starters, Moost and Far has six winners. Two others have placed. Four of his six winners are multiple winners, and that includes the five-time winner in stakes place, Muthiba. So given the opportunity, Moost and Far can put you in the winner's circle for a most reasonable fee. $2,000 live foal stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to my friend, stallion manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, Ronaldo, the great winner last weekend of the Group 1 Dubai Golden Shaheen Stakes, is the sixth grade one stakes winner sired by Spitestown. He's also one of 42 winners from stakes winners from his first five crops by his sire and concluded 2012 ranked third on the general sire list, second among those that stood at North America. Spitestown is siring a sensational 19% black type horses from starters and 15% black type horses from foals. Now that bears repeating, 15% black type horses from foals. In 2012, Spitestown sired the winners of nearly $10 million. He was represented by 20 stakes winners, 8 of the 21 graded stakes, and 2 1 grade 1 stakes. Well on his way to surpassing that in 2013. Champion sprinter Spitestown, listed among his stakes wins as the grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint, is by the grand sire of sires Gone West, out of the champion filly Silken Cat by Stormcat. And he stands at Windstar Farm. Bar $60,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. To learn more about the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. All right. I want to take care of my good friend, David Schweitzer, over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and list the breeders of stakes winners last week. Usually say last year, but last week. Got it right this time.
Woo-hoo.
That's because I speak without thinking, as you know. I have a way of putting my mouth by foot in my mouth. Anyway, the grade one, $1 million Florida Derby. Went to Orb. It's a Malibu Moon colt, bred by Stuart S. Janney III in the Phipps Stables. Of course, Malibu Moon stands at Spendthrift Farm, and this particular colt was raised at Claiborne Farm. Two outstanding nurseries right there. The Gulfstream Oaks, grade two, went to Dreaming of Julia. Dreaming of Julia. She didn't cut it too close. She won by 21 and three-quarter lengths. She was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings right here in Kentucky. Stone Street, of course, out on the Versailles-Frankfort Road. The Louisiana Derby Grade 2, worth $1 million, went to Revolutionary. He was bred by Will Farish. And, of course, I don't know, Warpass, I think he is at, I believe he is at Lane's End. I'm not sure about that. I'm having a senior moment here. The New Orleans Handicap, Mr. Farish also bred that one. And he's by Bridal Song. This horse is. Both of them trained by Todd Pletcher. Boy, did he have a good weekend. Mm. So what else is new? The Grade 3 Appleton Stakes went to Zah approval. This is another Ghost Zapper. It's a Grade 3 race, the Appleton, down at Gulfstream Park. And this one bred in Kentucky by the Live Oak Stud. And this is the sixth graded stakes winner by Ghost Zapper. He's the leading sire 2013 stakes winners with six. The Skipaway Stakes, Grade 3, All-Star at Gulfstream. Winner was bred by Marvin Delfiner, Ted Forkuth, and Brookdale Farm. The Rampart Stakes, Grade 3, also down at Gulfstream Park. Went to Chowbella. That is a four-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, of course, who stands at Ashford Stud. And Chowbella was raised over at Ashford Stud, races for the name of Chelston, C-H-E-L-S-T-O-N, was bred. And once again, Todd Pletcher. And the Sir Shackleford Stakes, the Gulfstream Park winner, was won by Traveling Man, bred by E. Paul Robson Estate. And yesterday at Keeneland, the Jack Milton Stakes. It's the, now what am I talking about? The Transylvania Stakes Grade 3 was won by Jack Milton. That'll throw you off. at least it did me, which it doesn't take much to derail me.
Well, it's almost noon.
Yeah, it's almost noon. The Transylvania Stakes Grade 3, $100,000 pot yesterday at Keeneland, going a mile and 16th on the grass. Jack Milton was the winner. He's by Warfront, who stands at Claiborne Farm and was bred by Cherry Valley Farm, which is owned by, I believe, either Seth owns that outright or it's part of division of Claiborne now. I'm not quite sure about that. One and the same, basically. So it was another good weekend. And, of course, Warfront had a good stakes winner, Grade 2 stakes winner just last weekend, as far as that goes. So anyway. Well, Orb, a three-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, moved to the head of the list of Kentucky Derby favorites with his impressive win in the Grade 1 Florida Derby just last Saturday. He's number one with 150 Kentucky Derby points. Can't keep him out now if he stays sound. The win was his fourth in a row, and it came at the direct expense of It's My Lucky Day, who was seeking his third straight win at Gulfstream Park. Stakes win, as far as that goes. Orb was bred by Stuart S. Janney III in the fifth stable, trained by Suge McGahee. And he won the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in his previous start, and he's earned over $921,000. He's the sixth Grade 1 stakes winner by Malibu Moon, who stands at Spendthrift Farm. Also at Spendthrift is a young graded stakes winner and track record breaker Temple City by Dynaformer out of Malibu Moon's half-sister by Danzig. It's a fantastic sire family. Temple City's first foals are yearlings, and he's eligible for King Spendthrift's very popular breed secure program. Give Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker and Ned Toffee a call over at Spendthrift Farm. 859 number 294-0030. Talk to them about Temple City and the young Spendthrift stands eligible for the breed secure program, and check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, a bunch of stakes races being run today, of course, the Wood Memorial and so forth up and up. But the Carter Handicap, I guess, is the oldest one of the bunch. It was first run back way back in 1895 by a horse named Charade, won it. And it was a few years before they discontinued it for a couple of years, but back up in 1904, Beldame, the great Beldame, won it. She was a three-year-old at the time. And let's see, Rose Band won it in 1906, carried 129 pounds and won. Been some really great horses win this race. Romer, 1914, he won it as a three-year-old, beating a real good horse named Barra. Let's see, Old Rosebud, you know, who won the Kentucky Derby as a three-year-old. He was 6 years old when he won it in 1917. And Andy Schuttinger rode him, who later rode Man of War in the Travers Stakes. And Old Rosebud carried 130 pounds. It was Audacious won it twice, 1920 and 1921. The Great Sarazen won it as a three-year-old in 1924. Sarazen was a son of High Time. Chester Gilling, bred by Dr. Marius Johnston. That's, you know, owned land right over here behind the training center. Over on Johnston Road, of course, the road was named after the family, as far as that goes. Wick and Stoney Johnston and those people. And High Time, in case you didn't know, was a foal of 1916. It was leading sire 1929. He topped the sire list. Highly inbred. He was by Ultimus, who was by Commando, by Domino. Ultimus was by out of a running... a mare named Running Stream by Domino, and then they bred Noonday to him, and she was by Domino. So that's three crosses Domino in his first three generations. Good Lord have mercy. The dam was undistinguished producer, and High Time it had tremendous speed, but when he was racing, but it was a bleeder. And he stopped. Colonel Phil Chin owned him, and he'd lost a big bet on him because the horse had worked, I mean, brilliantly. He just won one race, and he bet on him in a stakes race, and he folded his tent at the eighth pole and ran out of the money. And Colonel Chin said, "I've never seen one stop so fast anyway." But Dr. Johnson had got in touch with the colonel, and told him that he had two colts for sale and wanted him to come out and look at them. And when Colonel Chin was told that they were both by High Time, he wasn't really interested, but out of respect for Dr. Johnson, he went anyway. And he liked what he saw, and he bought the pair for $2,500. Both of them won stakes. Sarazen was one of the best runners of the 1920s. Of course, he was named after the famed golfer. At the time, Gene Sarazen. And Colonel Chin won three races with Sarazen and sold him to a Mrs. Graham Fair Vanderbilt for $10,000. So he pinhooked him pretty good. Max Hirsch took over the training. Of course, Max Hirsch later trained for King Ranch. Of course, he trained Assault and Middle Ground, Derby winners. Sarazen was undefeated in 10 starts as a two-year-old. He won, among other stakes, he won the Champagne Stakes and the 8-furlong Futurity, Wait for Age, beating older horses as a two-year-old. At three, he won 8 of his 12 starts, including the Carter, which prompted me talking about it, the Saranac, and won the Manhattan, several other stakes. Greatest race came in the International number 3 at Latonia before 60,000 fans down there, and in this race, he raced against the European champion, Epernard, and Chiloui was in there, and Mad Play, and My Play, both of the last two, side by Man of War, incidentally. There wasn't others in there, but he won it. Sarazen won it. Many had questioned his ability to get a mile and a quarter because of his breeding, but he won easily. And he got the mile and a quarter in 2 minutes and 2/5 seconds. Yep. And, you know, that's hauling it, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well, Sarazen raced through age 7, but failed to win his last two seasons. His owner, Mrs. Vanderbilt, sent him to Mr. Tom Pye's farm in Lexington, where he was pensioned, and he died at age 19 out there. He ended up, during his career, he'd run 55 times with 27 wins. 23 of them were in stakes, and let's see, 2/6 and 6/3, and he earned $223,800. What would he have won in these days and times? Good God, nobody knows. Well, he was the 1924 winner of the Carter Handicap. Osmond won it under Earl Sandy in 1928. In the following year, Osmond won it again under Willie Garner. Jackie, you got some?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot all about you.
Oh, now I figured it out.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Okay. The annual KTOB Derby Trainers Dinner to honor Derby horses and their connections is Tuesday, April 30th at the Downtown Hyatt Regency. Cocktails, dinners, etc. starts at 6:30. Jill Burns and Paul Rogers are going to host. Tickets are $150. Call Vicki Garcia at the KTOB to purchase tickets.
Farm Managers Club next week,
Wednesday,
at
Red Mile. Today at the Horse Park, Spring Bay Horse Trials. That's a sign of spring. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is Kentucky Saddle Horse Spring Show and Saddlebred Mountain Horse Saddle Horses, Mountain Saddle Horse, right, and Saddlebreds. Saddlebreds, and those are, Saddlebreds run 3 days. On the 14th, U.S. Mounted Games. Don't forget, Rolex is the 25th of this month. Need to get out to get started on your tickets because they're going like hotcakes. And they're also, at the same time, the Kentucky Reining Cup is that Friday and Saturday. Of course, Rolex goes 4 days. It's a 3 day, 4 day, 3 day. How about that? The Blood Horse. Toba has this ownership seminar coming up April 19th at Keeneland. It will be available as a webcast. Now, in order to participate, it costs you $25. You got to get online and go to toba.org, or you can call Amy Bunt, 276-2291. You get all the materials, and you get the webcast all day. Let's see. Thoroughbred Incentive Program is sponsored by the Jockey Club. If you are showing and competing a thoroughbred, and if you join this Thoroughbred Incentive Program, High Point Thoroughbreds Awards at Open Horse Shows Competition, they're going to have a Thoroughbred of the Year Award and a Young Rider Award. Go to the Jockey Club website, and you can click on there and see if your horse is eligible, because this is spreading. There's a lot more people doing this. Masterson Equestrian, today, April 6th, and tomorrow, April 7th, Springbury Horse Trials out at Masterson. The following week, the 13th and 14th, is the Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Hunter Jumper Show. On the 14th, also April 14th, is Masterson Durson Equestrian Trust Cross Country Schooling Day. It's $35 per horse. The horses, here the ghost is out, right? That ghost sepper?
Yeah.
Okay. That's old. Okay, sorry. I said Flair Nasal Strips is going to have a seminar April 9th, 1:30 at the Keeneland Race Course. That's Barclay Porter, 327-4060. Let's see if I got anything else. 5K race at Midway, the 10th race to read. This is part of Race for Education. It's going to be April 20th. Race for Education is 1818 Versailles Road. If you're interested and want to pre-register. Quill and Tack, as long as you don't ship, you get 10% off anything you want to buy. Let me see. I've done that. I know I'm in a hurry. Ferdinand's Ball, of course, May 2nd at the, what's the name of that place? Muhammad Ali Center.
All right. Well, winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Tim Wilson, Tanya Bomitas, Kiko Gothard, and Magdalena Nolasco, and Bobby Sturgeon. And that music means it's time for us to bail out. Thank you, Mary Jane, down at the studio. Thank you, Ressie, right here. And we'll talk to you all next week.
happy trails.